Let's pray together. Oh Lord God, our Father in heaven, we thank Thee this morning for this grace and opportunity You have given us to worship Thee. Oh Lord, we thank Thee for the blessings of the week past by which You kept us and provided for us and preserved us and brought us here into Thine house. This is an opportunity and a privilege for us to come to Thy feet and worship Thee and hear Thee speak to us the word of Thy gospel, so that our hearts will be moved and come to faith in Jesus Christ by repentance of our sins, and that those who are converted already would also be edified and learn more about the gospel and be humbled, thinking about where Thou hast brought us from. Lord, as we come to worship Thee, we seek Thy face to make us worship Thee in spirit and in truth, so that our worship will be acceptable unto Thee. Oh, come among us, Lord, and bless us, for we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn in our hymn books and sing together hymn number 217. Hymn number 217. We sing the praise of Him who died, of Him who died upon the cross. The sinner's hope let men deride, for this we count the world but loss. Hymn number 217. scripture reading is the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Genesis, chapter 5. And I'll begin to read from verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enoch. And Seth lived after he begat Enoch 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 90 years, and begat Canaan. And Enoch lived after he begat Canaan 815 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years, and begat Mahalaleel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalaleel 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalaleel lived 65 years, and begat Jared. And Mahalaleel lived after he begat Jared 830 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalaleel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Let's sing together hymn number 90, version 2, which helps us to reflect on the psalm and the passage we've just read. Hymn number 90, version 2. O God, the rock of ages, who evermore has seen, while life brief tempest rages, our dwelling place serene. Before the world's creation, O Lord, the same as now, to endless generations, the everlasting Thou. Hymn number 90, version 2. A good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky in multitude, and as the sun which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. May the Lord bless these readings of his word and to grant us all the understanding.
And warm welcome to all of you who are worshiping with us today, and we pray that you'll be blessed as we worship the Lord together. This is Grace Reformed Baptist Church, and we are in our gospel service. We want to suggest that after the service, especially for the first time visitors, you spend a few minutes as we would like to know you more, and for everyone else, a few minutes for personal brief prayer. Our services and times are as follows. Sunday morning gospel service, the one that we are in now, is from 10 to 11.30 in the morning. Sunday school sessions are from 3 to 4.30 p.m. Sunday evening teaching services are from 6 to 7.30 p.m. Our prayer meetings are held on Tuesdays from 7 to 8.30 p.m. Bible studies are held on Wednesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Our pastor, Anthony Bentum Eni, is currently in Cape Coast preaching at Grace Reformed Baptist Church, our sister church. The preacher for this evening will be our brother Gamel. Recordings of messages from this church are available at our website, www.grbc.org. It's now time for our offering for the Lord's work.
Together. Oh God, our gracious and our heavenly Father, we are grateful to thee that you have given us substance for us to offer unto thee. We ask of thee to bless these offerings we've given for the furtherance of thine own gospel ministry. And we ask of thee to bless our hearts continually that we will recognize thy goodness to us even when we have sinned against thee, to know that you are faithful and still provide our need, so that when we give to thee in such an offering mode, we shall give with willing hearts and cheerfully. O Lord our God, what can we say to thy manifold blessings thou hast bestowed on the human race, despite our rebellion and our disobedience and our hatred for thee by nature? You have come down mightily and graciously through Jesus Christ your Son to bless this world with light, with conversion of souls, with all the things which would make man return unto thee, with a new birth, with justification, with sanctification and reconciliation of man unto thee, with spiritual rest and spiritual peace. O Lord, this world has none of these things to offer. It is only material things we get when we live in this world below. And your word tells us they are all vanity. For we brought nothing into this world and we shall depart with nothing. Therefore the best things we get in this world, we shall leave them behind. And they do not even satisfy. For they only feed the flesh. The soul, which is sinful, remains hungering and thirsting after righteousness and after spiritual food from thee. But not many seek such spiritual food. The world is still full of darkness, and many have strayed away from thee and gone further and further away into darkness. And many have preferred to feed on the things of this world and have despised thee. Many, even after they have heard thy gospel, still prefer to live for academic titles and money and career progress and success and the glory and applause of men. O Lord our God, such men, when they still live up to today, there is hope for them because thy gospel is still preached. And as we have come into thine house today, we come to preach thy gospel so that thy gospel will be heard by many, and many here who are unsaved would have one more opportunity to hear thy faithful gospel, thy glorious gospel, and believe. O Lord, as we have gathered here, so also are our brethren elsewhere gathered for the preaching of thy gospel and for the hearing of it. And we pray that you bless us and bless them also, that the gospel will be preached faithfully and truthfully. O God, this gospel is such a glorious message, the best message which came from thee, that all who repent and believe in Jesus Christ should not perish but have everlasting life. We ask of thee to make this gospel message sink into the hearts of many as we have gathered here. O Lord, we thank thee furthermore for thy blessings upon us as a church and all that thou hast done for us over the months and the years. How you have gloriously provided for our needs and kept us and our light burning and our service going on and our progress in the gospel outreach work we do still intact. We have so much reason to thank thee, especially for our gospel ministry. We have one currently as we are going on, and we will have one this afternoon when we gather in the children and the young people for our Sunday school Bible classes. Oh God, what a treasure you have given us, an opportunity to reach out to the community and bring in these young ones and children and teach them Bible lessons, preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, let them know that they are sinners and they must repent and believe. And what an opportunity you have given so that these young ones will hear the gospel so early. When we go to gather them, we seek thy face to bless us so that there will be no harm and accidents when the vehicle moves and when our young people go out to call them. We ask for peace, we ask for safety, so that they will gather and that the gospel will be preached unto them. We pray for the teachers and helpers, everyone who partakes in this gospel service work, grant that you will do thy service with faithfulness and truthfulness, with a sense of privilege. May we never do this for the show, so that men will applaud us, but may we do it always with gratitude, knowing what Jesus has done for us when he went all the way to the cross of Calvary, never gave up in the midst of all the accusations and all the scourgings and all the beatings, and he went and hung on the cross in pain and shame and agony for our sakes. When we remember these and we ask that you make us remember them, we will serve thee with gratitude. And like Jesus said, when we have done our best, we will still know that we are yet unprofitable servants. O Lord our God, bless this work, this afternoon's work, to the hearts of these young ones. Open many hearts and minds when they gather here, that through their singing and the Bible reading and the hearing and the gospel message itself which will be preached, many will be converted. We know that you will convert many, not because of our speech, not because of our organization, but because your promise is that you will make us fishers of men. And therefore we know that if you've given us the net to cast into this community, surely we shall catch fish. So also did you say that when we have sown the gospel seed, we shall come home reaping. And therefore, as we have sown the seed, we know that you will save many. O Lord, cause us to continue to feed and plead such promises when we preach thy gospel. And may many be saved this afternoon and this morning as we are going to hear thy word here. O Lord our God, come among us and bless us and glorify thyself in all that you do throughout all the day. Hear us as we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, let's sing together once more from our hymn book 362. Hymn number 362. How sad our state by nature is, our sin how deep it stains, and Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. Hymn number 362.
Yeah.
Friends, I'm turning this morning to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And we'll be thinking this morning about the subject, God can walk with you, based on those words we find in verses 22 and 24, Enoch walked with God. We want to refer to God being able to walk with man, because when we have considered Enoch's life, at the end we will realize that it was God who actually worked with him. What was manifest was that he worked with God, but God takes the initiative. That is his grace and mercy, which he uses to save souls. Enoch, verse 24, walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The background to chapter 5, you would know, is a very, very repeated number of statements concerning the birth of people, they living life, having families, having sons and daughters, and they died. And many times in this chapter, those three words, and they died, and they died, and they died, keep repeating, except for this gentleman called Enoch, whereby in his account in verse 24 we read, And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. One of the exceptions, he and Elijah, who never tasted death. And what lessons do we have to learn in this, is that God can walk with anyone. We look at the background again in the chapter and realize that there were things which were said by God in the judgment of Adam in Genesis chapter 3, which were now beginning to manifest. Until now, until we read these accounts of people dying, nobody had died. It was Abel who was killed, and then Lamech, the wicked man, also killed some people. But when we speak of death, as in people dying without being killed, these are the first times we are hearing of death. And this is also the first time we are hearing that there is a life beyond this world. Adam and Eve were told about the seed of the woman, a glorious promise, but they were never promised heaven. It is the first time we see here that there is life beyond this earth. For when God took Enoch, he was testifying that there is a life beyond this world. And there is a lot for us to learn, as I said, as we come into the subject. So this is, as the beginning of the chapter says, the book of the generations of Adam, which is about life proper. Adam and his posterity were going to be experiencing death, but according to the account of Enoch, death is not the finality of man. Death is not supposed to be the end of the life of man. And then we also learn in the passage from Enoch's lifestyle that despite the sinfulness of that generation, because we know that it wasn't long before this life of Enoch that the flood came and God had to kill everybody except Noah and the seven people around him. But in the midst of the wickedness of the generation, someone was able to walk with God. There is no despair. There is no reason to despair that you cannot be saved, and that your lifestyle cannot be changed, and that you cannot be born again. There is all manner of hopeful messages coming from the life of Enoch. So we begin with the first part of the verse, in verse 24. Enoch walked with God. And as I said, the background to this walk is that all men die. The death of all men is very sure. And he died. It's the repeated phrase throughout the chapter. It also shows that That is, the background shows that there was a rapid decline of the human race. When you study the number of years the people lived, you will see that apart from the exceptions, Methuselah living for 987 years, all the others, if you look at the lives that they were living, there was a decline. So Adam started with 930, and if you keep looking at the lives of each one of them, the years keep dropping. They dropped and dropped and dropped. By the time of Moses, the years of men were around 100 years or 120. Exceptions, as I said, are Methuselah, who lived for more years than Adam, and then our subject Enoch, who lived for 365 years. But what God said to Adam, that in the day thou shalt eat of this fruit, thou shalt surely die, that began to manifest. The spiritual had already happened because Adam and Eve had realized they were naked. But the physical was going on. Man was in a state of decline. Human health was reducing. And as the years went by, the years of men were dropping. You know, in our days, it has gone further down. The life expectancy in our land today is about 60 years. Elsewhere, 70, 80, but certainly not as the days earlier. So that is in the background, the rapid decline of the human race, which is to remind us that we are sinners and that there is a place for us to go. Death will feed on us one day. But it was a very sinful generation, as I said, in their thinking, in their purpose, in their worship, in their lifestyle. They were wicked people. As I said, the evidence is between Enoch and Noah was maybe some 400 years, and then the flood came and destroyed the whole world, because the wickedness, as God says, was so much that it prevented him from making man. So that generation was a very wicked generation in which Enoch walked with God. It was full of darkness, and they did not have the Bible as well. They were living by oral tradition. So with this background in mind, there was a man called Enoch who walked with God. And how did he walk? He walked by faith. We read in the epistle to the Hebrews that Enoch walked by faith. He was translated, and because he was translated because he pleased God. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for we have to believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we know that Enoch walked by faith, and it means he believed in God and God's word. There is further evidence of his life in Jude, that single chapter book, verse 14, chapter 1, verse 14, of course, which says that he did not just, he wasn't just a talkative, but he talked about God in terms of warning the people of his generation about the judgment to come. He walked with God by faith, but he also had a public testimony because he lived a godly life. How do we know that his life was a godly life? Because of the word walk. Of all the people mentioned, nowhere is anyone spoken of that he walked with God. Before Enoch, the only time we hear of the word walk is when God, after Adam had sinned, walked in the Garden of Eden, which is teaching us that until Adam sinned, God was walking with him like a friend in those days in the Garden of Eden. But after the fall, we don't hear of anyone walking with God until Enoch walked with God, which is to teach us of his lifestyle and character. He was a godly man, and his godly lifestyle was so different and so clear because it was different from the people of his generation. So some theologians say Enoch taught the world by his life. His lifestyle spoke a message. I hope you remember, if you know your Bible well, that the disciples in the book of Acts of the Apostles, when the Jews saw them, they said they knew that they had been with Jesus. The more you walk with a person, the more you get the character of that person. Enoch worked with God. He had a public testimony, as we read in Hebrews 11:5, because when he was not, which means when he was taken by God, they were looking for him, but they could not find him. They were looking for him in his house, perhaps thinking he was with his family, but they could not find him. And that is a testimony of his lifestyle. It is like the light in that society was taken away, and the society was left with darkness. That is what we learn about Enoch walking with God. And we know that it was by God's grace and mercy. We know this about God, that he is merciful and gracious, as we are speaking about why he can walk with anyone who comes to Jesus Christ by repentance and faith, because he walked with Enoch. And here we speak of the application that Christ is also calling. God calls, and he called Enoch to walk with him. So is he calling anyone today to repent and believe in Jesus Christ, his Son? And the message of hope which comes through the life of Enoch is that you can also walk with him, in spite of the sinfulness of the people of this generation. Enoch's walk and his lifestyle should teach us today important lessons about hope. Very, very interesting. Hope. And it's because the background of Enoch's lifestyle was a life of despair and hopelessness. Death was the common experience of all the men. And they died. And they died. And they died. Death is a very gloomy experience. Very horrible story to hear. It makes man's life less than cold. It brings sorrow to families. So when we have a background of death, sometimes you can think that life is a hopeless case. You live, you drink, you have families, you enjoy those families, you grow old, and then you die. And that is the end. So we speak of a hopeful message coming from the life of Enoch. So here, you should not think that your sinful case is a hopeless one. We live, we commit sins, and sometimes we are helpless in the face of the sins we commit. We find it difficult to stop committing sins, and we think our case is hopeless. But we shouldn't. We shouldn't also think that you cannot be changed through Jesus Christ, God's Son, who came to live and die for sinners. Don't give up in your battle against sin and say that that is how you will ever be. Don't say, like other people say, that you will never be born again, and that you were born in sin, and so you can never become a godly person. I'm speaking like this because it is a common message you hear around town, that people give up. They give up and think life is a hopeless case. And so what is common among men is, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Don't accept that the sinful world in which we live now is an excuse for you to remain in your sinful condition, because Enoch's lifestyle teaches us that it cannot be. It is not necessary that man should remain in a sinful condition. There is hope. There is a way by which you can get out of that condition. And that is what we are learning from this case of Enoch. There is a similar story which used to be, apart from Enoch's time, at the beginning of at the time after Jesus had ascended into heaven, when the apostles had begun preaching in Europe, then it was called the Roman Empire. We know that the empire was full of idolatry, idol worship. They were heathens through and through. Everybody was worshipping something, like a star or the moon or a river. And as Paul went and saw in Athens, they had multiple gods. They had so many that some even had ones which they had labeled to the unknown gods. And so their case was as hopeless as you would find in the case of Enoch's generation, and in our generation also. And the sexual ethics at the time of the Roman Empire was that they believed that their lusts and fornication and adultery and pornographic culture were all determined by the stars. They believed in the power of the celestial bodies to influence their lives, and they believed so much in their power. So they had left their lives to the fate of the stars, and they said, there is no point fighting against these sinful sexual thoughts and practices. They believed that they had no control over the stars and therefore no control over their own bodies. So sexual ethics were very terrible. Fornication, prostitution was very, very common. In fact, in Ephesus it was celebrated because the temple of Diana was a temple where prostitution was a practice of worship of the goddess Diana. So much was the case of debauchery and sexual immorality in the time. And the people had given up. They had found themselves to be people who were determined by the stars. And slowly, they began to realize that this is their freedom. That living that kind of lifestyle of prostitution and rampant adultery and fornication was actually the life of freedom. And the Christians came with their gospel message and told them, no, it is not true. There is a way by which your life can be changed. Your life is not determined by the stars. The Christians said, those sexual thoughts and practices are not freedom, but they are rather slavery. It is a life of bondage. And this is the message they preached. They spoke about the hope that man can be changed. Don't think I was born with this, I was born with that, like the homosexuals say today. I am a homosexual because I was born a homosexual. There is nothing which can change me, and therefore the state should make laws to support me. So, that is the kind of lifestyle which was in the time of Enoch, in our time also, and also in the time when the apostles had begun to preach in the Roman Empire. And you know, in 300 years, this message which the Christians took to Rome, in 300 years, the whole Rome had been changed. Not everybody had become a Christian, we know, but a large number had been converted. The message of hope, that a man can be changed, when a man is despairing and has given up on life, that nothing can happen to me, I have tried and tried and tried, it's never working, still, there is a message of hope. So don't talk like those people do. I was born a homosexual. I cannot stop committing certain sins because I am addicted to them. I cannot live for more than 2 weeks without having sex if you are a young person. I cannot eat properly without taking alcohol. And things of that sort. That has been become the mantra of people. I can't stop. I can't do this. Even if you speak to me, I can hear you, but it's like I have become addicted to it. And people give up. And one of the reasons is because they don't look beyond life to see that there is a life beyond this one. That there is a place for man to go. So, please, friends, remember the gospel can change a life. And you can become a godly person, no matter your case. You can become different from other people, just like Enoch was different in his generation. If you believe the gospel message, that you have to repent of your sins and believe in Christ. Repent and believe that Jesus lived and died for your sin on the cross where he shed his blood for you. You must. And when you do, you will realize that it wasn't so much difficult as people think. It wasn't difficult because God did not tell you to go and climb the mountain. God did not tell you to perform this number of good works. God did not tell you have to pray this number of times a day. God did not tell you to go and perform certain rituals and ceremonies before you would be saved, or become a good person before you would become his child. Repent and believe. It is as simple as that, and that is how your life can be changed. Oh friends, don't give up. I speak like this because as I stand here, I have spoken like that before. I had given up at a point in my life that church will not do anything to me. I had attended Sunday school from my childhood. By the time I was in my teenage years, I had given up. I wasn't even going to church at all. Right? But the gospel is such that God will surely let somebody bring the message to you, as we are doing this morning. And you will hear that there is hope, and that it wasn't for you to perform a very difficult task before you become a Christian. Repent and believe. This is the faith of Enoch, which we speak about this morning. He walked with God, Enoch, and not with man. And therefore, you shouldn't also make it your life to make man your closest companion, no matter family ties, no matter how much your mother or your father are so close to you. He walked with God because he pleased God, which we know is by doing the things which God wants you to do. This is not before he was a Christian. So remember, I'm saying you should not think you become a good person before you become a Christian. You must repent, we know, but the repentance is a change of heart and mind alongside trusting in Jesus Christ. Because otherwise you cannot trust in Jesus Christ. You will speak with your mouth that you are a believer, but repentance will not be there until repentance comes to show in how you live your life. And then you will walk with God because you will please him. It will be a pleasure for you to read the Bible, for you to do Christian service, for you to shun the company of your friends whom you used to go along with to commit all manner of evil. It will be easy for you to stop or reduce the number of hours you spend on other things. Even if those things are by themselves not sinful, you will realize that your life will become a life dedicated to God. He pleased God, Hebrews 11, verse 5. He talked about God also, because he preached about the final judgment, that is Jude 1, 14 and 15. He warned ungodly people about God's final judgment. He made spiritual progress. He walked with God. That was a heavenly walk. Why? Because the life lived, which is like God walking on earth, is a life which is always different and distinct from the life led by other people. So he was a shining light in darkness. But as I said, Enoch worked with God, but really, it was God who worked with him. God worked with him in the earth, and God took him to heaven with him. God had taken notice of him, and the abiding consciousness or awareness of God's presence was with Enoch. I hope you are taking these things in. This is the life you can lead. It is not a fable. It is not something written for us to just glance over. If Enoch lived such a life, don't give up, friend. There is hope. Don't be despaired. There is always hope, because you can also walk with God like Enoch. So I'm asking, are you despairing about being also able to walk with God like the people of the Roman Empire? You shouldn't. God can walk with you in spite of your sinfulness. And everyone is a sinner. Everyone knows he has a problem with sin. Everyone knows he tries to stop and he is unable. And sin sometimes overtakes us, and we do things shamefully and we regret, and we go back to those things again when we are not converted. But there is hope for that cycle to break, because God can come to you. If you repent of your sins and believe in Christ, as we say, if you cry unto him with a repentant heart for mercy and forgiveness of your sin, if you accept that you are a sinner through and through like other people in our sinful world, accept that. Don't take the sinful lifestyle of today as normal. Gambling, fornication, drunkenness, partying, all the things people do, materialism, chasing after money and career, spending so much of our energy on the things of this world. Don't think it is normal. Don't think everybody is doing it and therefore we should do the same, or there is no problem with it. Everyone is doing it. It has become a normal lifestyle. Dressing style, talking style, all those things, we are born into them. They become part of our culture, and they deceive us to think that they are normal, but they are not. There is hope, as I'm saying, a hopeful message coming from the life of Enoch, that you can be changed. Dear friends, have you ever tried to live a godly life, perhaps several times, and you've been failing and getting worse? It may be that you are like that. As I said, I was like that. I know people in this room sitting here who were like that, who have told me of their testimony. And they are now Christians. There is hope. Perhaps you are failing because you are not going to God by faith, as Enoch did. You are trying by your efforts to make yourself a good person. You will fail. Perhaps you are failing because you are depending on your own strength. Are you almost giving up because it is not bringing any change in your life like it used to do to me? Almost giving up? What is the point? I have gone to church plenty times and I'm not getting any better. There is no change coming through me. I am actually getting worse. Sin is so powerful in my life, I can't stop. There is hope, dear friend. Don't give up, but also don't try to change yourself because you don't have the power. Go to Christ, friend. That is why he came to live and die. His arms are open to receive anyone who comes to him by repentance and faith. Go to him and cast yourself upon his feet. Why do you go to him and how do you go to him? You realize first that sin has power over you. Know that, friends. Don't think you can fight sin by yourself. It has power over you. It has brought you into a state of spiritual death and it rules over your life. Don't despair. As I am saying, Enoch did not despair. Many Christians can testify that they did not despair. At the end of the day, perhaps they went through a life of despair and hopelessness, but you shouldn't, because there is hope. There is so much hope in the gospel, friends. Your life can be changed. Your life can actually become a different one. You look around, you see that all people are taking to alcohol. All people are taking to a sinful lifestyle and you join them and you think there is no different life. But there is. You can also walk with God. And Jesus has power over sin. You don't. If you go to him by repentance and faith, then you apply to him and then he will come and fight the sin in your life. And you will be amazed, dear friend, about the change which will come in your life. People will look at you and they will wonder, is it not this person who was this and that? And now we see that he speaks differently, he dresses differently, the places he goes have changed. The times he spends on the things of this world have changed. He now reads the Bible more and more. He now likes going to church. Anytime the doors of the church are open, he wants to be there. He is so zealous in Christian service. He spends time and energy and resources in God's service. If you are unconverted, this will look to you a mystery. It will look to you an impossible task. And sometimes you can even become cynical and think that those people who do those things, they don't have a plan in life. We are enjoying ourselves with all the things of the world and they are always in church singing hymns. We don't know what they are doing in that room. Their life is boring. That is a life of slavery and despair. But the devil makes you think you are right. The devil makes you think you are a free person. The devil deceives you to think that it is Christians who are actually in bondage and slavery, but not the life of Enoch. Because at the end of the day, God will prove who was right. Who was taken to heaven, it was Enoch. And that is the message that we must remember, that there is a way by which your life can be changed and for the better. You will be surprised at the freedom which God will bring to your life, and your heart will be one which is now inclined towards God. You will see that you now have pleasure in the things which God likes, and you will spend so much time in it and you will be amazed. You will take the Bible and read and you wouldn't want to put it down. This has happened to many Christians, friends. They say, I want to read one chapter, and by the time they realized they were in four chapters, five chapters, they couldn't put it down. The pleasure is so great in Christianity. That is why I'm speaking of hope and the fact that you should not despair. So remember these things we are speaking of, and don't think like one of my friends who spoke to me when we were discussing Christianity in our land. My web colleague, having been in a Methodist church, he used to be a chorister, and now he is no more. And we discussed Christianity, and he was very bold, telling me that he doesn't believe one bit that in this country there is anyone Christian. Very amazing, isn't it? He thinks everyone is a hypocrite. Those who say they are Christians. He thinks everybody is not true. He thinks there is no Christian in Ghana. So he has stopped going to church. Anything religious doesn't matter to him, except the surface ones, like when we attend a meeting, he will be asked to offer a prayer before the meeting, which is what people do in our workplaces. But he doesn't believe anybody is a Christian, including himself. And it will interest you that he's not alone. Many people think like that. They think there is nothing serious about people thinking they are Christians. I'm sure you know one of the... You wouldn't know him, but, and I wouldn't want him to be the focus of your attention, but I'll speak about what he said. A famous, one of our famous businessmen who used to own a bank was being interviewed on television, and after all his business success, he talked about it and all the things he had done to raise up a company and employ people, which are all good things, we don't deny that. The interviewer asked him about his spiritual life, and he said, "Oh, as for him, all the things those people say they are doing, the religious people, Christians, he doesn't really care about them at all. But what he does is he makes sure he does good. And therefore, when they are going to church on Sundays, he goes to play golf. He likes golf, he plays golf, and then after that, he will make sure he pays people's school fees. He does good to people, and that is all he thinks about what it means to be a man." And the stories are many. I could give you countless number of them. And this, the root of all of this is hopelessness. Their eyes are not opened yet, and they don't believe their eyes will be open. They have settled into the lifestyle of the world, thinking everything is fine. But death is approaching. We sang hymn number 90, version 2, that our lives can be told as a dream. It is a story. It is a very brief life, like a vapor, like grass. Very shortly, death will be the portion of you, like anyone in Enoch's generation. And they died, and they died, and they died. So let's remember these things about Enoch. His lifestyle was a life of faith. He was not, the Bible says, not just his body or person, not just his talk, but everything about his godly character was not seen by the people. When he went away, the light was off, like we have when your bulb goes off and darkness comes. The people of his generation searched for him, they could not find him. No doubt, some of the people, though they were wicked people, missed him. They missed his godly lifestyle, but he had not died like the people of his generation, other people of his generation. Why did God take him? The reason is because God wanted the people to know for the first time that there is life beyond this world. It was a mystery to people what death was. Well, God had said death will feed on man because of sin, but they did not think about life beyond death, or if they ever thought, it was a mystery. But when God took Enoch, he was teaching that generation that there is life beyond this world, and that death is not necessary. It is a mystery to hear this, isn't it? We all die, everybody believes we will die, and everybody is preventing death. Everything we do in this world is try to live one more day and prevent death, though we know that death will feed on us. But when I say that death is not necessary, it is because the Bible says so. And this is the proof, because Enoch was not. He was taken by God. Which means, for example, if Adam had not sinned, never sinned, the question would have been, what would happen to man? Would it be that now, in the whole world, there will be no death, and then the world will be like, 80 billion people, and there will be a crowd in the world, because people will be reproducing and reproducing, and nobody will die? No. This is the evidence. If Adam had never sinned, one day he would have been taken to heaven. Death is not necessary. God did not create man to die. If this is true, then it is also not necessary for you to remain in a sinful lifestyle. That is why I'm speaking about the message of hope, that there is a way by which you can live your lifestyle. How would you know you have become like Enoch? How would you know that you have passed on from a sinful lifestyle and that this message of hope has reached you? It is because you will also be searched for and you will not be found. Does it mean you will be taken away? No. Your friends that you used to work with, when they are looking for you to go with them to the betting house, they will not find you. When they are looking for you in the drinking bar, they will not find you. When they are looking for you at the concert party, you will not be there, like Enoch. You may have been taken. Okay, Enoch was taken to heaven. God will take you away from that lifestyle. You will still be in this earth, but separated from that lifestyle. They will look for you when they are going to look for boyfriends and girlfriends. They will not find you. When they are sharing profane jokes on social media, you will not be there. When they appear on television or on your mobile phone for you to watch them, you will not be there to watch them. This is the meaning, a practical application of Enoch was not. Verse 24, and he was not, because God took him. Alright, you should no more join with people when they are taking bribes, when they are receiving kickbacks, when they are forging documents, when they are blackmailing people in order to win the favors of bosses and gain promotion. You will not be among them. It means you will not be there. They won't find you there. And then lastly, God took him. What was the reason for Enoch going to heaven? Was it by his efforts? No. The reason why he was not was because God took him. Is there a lesson about why salvation is not by works? Yes. Otherwise, you would think Enoch was taken to heaven because he walked with God. That may be, but the real reason is because God is the one who did it. God took him. He took him to heaven and nowhere else. Friends, the Bible makes it clear that God took him. He was translated. God continued to walk with him all the way to heaven. So, you can be sure that by the time Enoch got to heaven, he did not find heaven a strange place. He wouldn't. And this is what repentance is about. That you hear the gospel that you have to believe in Jesus Christ because he died on the cross for you. But what will show that you are a Christian? Repentance. Your life will become a heavenly lifestyle. What does it mean? It doesn't mean you stop going to school or working. But what it means is that you will begin to practice the things which people practice in heaven. You know why in this church, for example, we sing hymns? Because in heaven there is no drumming and dancing. You know why we praise God and serve him? Because that is what is done in heaven. Day and night, they serve the Lord with worship, with praise and adoration, doing his bidding. Do you know why we tell people to abstain from all appearance of evil? Because there is none of that in heaven. No drinking bars, no betting houses, no wicked places in this earth, in heaven as they are in this earth. So when you separate from this world by repentance, that becomes a proof that you are on your way to heaven, walking with God on the way to heaven. And when you arrive in heaven, you will not be surprised. Otherwise, as some theologians say, if there is no repentance in your life, because you have not believed, and perchance, I know it will never happen, and I'm speaking reverently here, if perchance you find your way to heaven, you will run away from there. You will not want to be there, because all this while in this life, your life has been the one like the people of Enoch's generation. They were born, they lived, they had daughters and children, and they died. And they were surprised to find themselves in heaven. They would say, bring me back to the earth, in case that should be the case. But our lesson here is that should not be your portion, friends. Death is not natural to man, as I said. It is the most horrible enemy man has. Everything we do is to avoid that. But death was not and is not part of God's creation. It has come in because of sin, and God has a way to remedy it. You may still die physically, but hasn't the Bible said those words, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15:55. Death is not the end for anyone who walks with God. It will not be the end. Death is not the finality. Don't speak with those people who say, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. As if there is no life beyond this world. There is. There is a life beyond the grave. We must aspire towards there. Otherwise, in this world, we shall find a life of despair, and death will feed on us, and there will be no hope. There is a heaven to go to, but the warning is that there is also a hell. This life is not the end, friends. If Enoch was taken, so also this world will not be the end for anyone who trusts in Jesus Christ. But for those who don't repent, this will also not be the end, for the Bible says there is hell. So remember this lesson, and this is a lesson of hope. Don't despair, friends. Don't think your life cannot change. Don't give yourself an excuse that the world is so wicked that I am like all of them and I'll ever remain like that. And may God bless us, that this lesson will get into our hearts, and that repentance and faith will be our portion, for His own name's sake. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, our gracious and our heavenly Father, we are grateful to Thee for this reminder of hope, the blessed hope. This world is such a sinful place, and many despair, many give up on their battle with sin, many give up on the truth that there is a life beyond this world. Many have settled into this world and claim that this is the only place they will be. Oh, may this message ring in our ears, and when people hear this over the internet, may they remember that there is hope, there is life beyond this world, a better life, a more hopeful life, a sweeter life, which you have promised through your Son Jesus Christ. Bless our hearts, for this message will stay with us, and may we repent and believe if we are yet unconverted, for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake. Amen. Let's sing our last hymn, hymn number 368. Hymn number 368. The sinner that truly believes and trusts in the crucified God, a pardon at once then receives, redemption in full through His blood. The faith that unites the Lamb and brings such salvation as this is more than mere notion or name. The work of God's Spirit it is. Hymn number 368.
Oh,
Rest and continue with us both now and forevermore. Amen.